We're working hard to bring them home through intensive discussions with the Chinese government, and we think we're making progress.
President Bush yesterday commenting on the continuing standoff with China, over 24 U.S. crew members still being held there after their surveillance plane collided with a Chinese fighter a week ago. Our Dan Schor joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And in your judgment, cause for the optimism we heard in the president's voice?
Well, you have, if they say they're optimistic, if they talk about movement, you have to assume something is happening. This all seems to be based on a plan where they would exchange conciliatory draft letters between the president of China and the president or the ambassador of the United States, and then refer some matters to a military maritime commission that was created some 3 years ago to deal with disputes at sea. Mm-hmm. But the latest from Beijing now is that the Chinese are not satisfied with the American draft after the letter because it doesn't contain the word apology. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in a situation like this, you need some kind of creative wordsmiths to design a new word. Like, how would you like apologrets?
Yes.
Something between apology and regrets or something. But if it comes down to that, yeah, you have to assume that they have the genius to find something there. The bottom line is that, yeah, the Chinese have not done very badly and don't want to push this dispute too far. But for domestic reasons, they would like it, yeah, for this vast superpower to just kowtow a little bit.
What's your assessment of how President Bush has behaved during what's considered to be his first international test?
Well, as far as you can tell from the outside, he's done reasonably well, other than the original demand that the crew be released right now. He hasn't been threatening. He has kept Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on the sidelines. He's allowed the Secretary of State, Colin Powell, in charge of diplomacy, to practice diplomacy and let him carry the ball. Mm-hmm. I see no reason to fault the president on this.
Assuming that the crew is freed sometime over the next few days, where does that leave U.S.-China relations?
Well, in immediate terms, the Chinese, if you look at it, have done pretty well. For one thing, they have managed to examine that plane very closely in spite of our demands that they stay out of that plane. They've examined it, and they know what there is to know about that plane. I don't know what's happened to those surveillance flights. The Pentagon is not being very clear about it. They say, yeah, the surveillance flights are still being flown. Are they being flown as close to the Chinese seashore as they were before? That's classified. Can't talk about that, and I suspect not. Well, to know how relations will be affected over the long term, I guess you just have to wait for Congress and the public to weigh in and decide what they think about it. As of now, 64% of people in a poll approve the handling by President Bush. And I have a very funny feeling that, considering that the Bush administration came in saying not very nice words, rather hostile words about China, mm-hmm, this kind of shock treatment may actually serve to improve relations between the two countries.
Make them talk to each other.
Make them talk to each other and make them try to avoid any kind of confrontation.
Let me ask you about the signature issue in many ways with which Mr. Bush came to office. The U.S. Senate voted yesterday 65-35 in favor of a financial package that includes tax cuts, but not as big as the cuts the president wanted. Is it setback or victory?
Well, if you want to do it by the numbers, you can say it was a draw. Here, President Bush would get $500 billion less than that $1.6 trillion, which he called the magic number, just the right amount, and he couldn't change that. Well, he didn't get exactly what he wanted in the Senate. But you can't just do this by the numbers. I think what may be more important is what the Senate restored in the way of spending for education, for defense, for dealing with global warming, for veterans. The president had wanted an increase in discretionary program of not more than 4%. In this, he's got 7%. Well, the Washington Post calls it Bush's first big defeat. The AP says it's a stinging setback. The White House will sharply dispute all of those things. I think you can make your own choice about that. He got the idea established, mm-hmm, that there will be a big tax cut. A lot of the things that he wanted accompanying that, he is not getting.
President Bush began the week wanting to cut federal spending by no longer requiring salmonella testing in school lunches,
yeah,
and use for school lunches. He reversed that by the end of the week. What caused the decision and then the change?
Well, let's say he wasn't a president personally. He stayed away from this. It was Secretary of Agriculture Ann Veneman. And what has happened is clearly one small step for regulation. Ms. Veneman says she wasn't consulted. that it was all done by some unnamed low-level official, I suspect maybe ex-official. It is really quite remarkable. You can roll back restrictions on carbon dioxide in the air. You can roll back restrictions on arsenic in the water. But school lunches? My wife says that President Bush could have learned a lesson from President Reagan, who defined ketchup as a vegetable in school lunches, and that didn't go very far. Conclusion is you can poison the air, you can poison the water, but you just better not mess around with school lunches.
Okay. Senate voted Monday in favor. There is a Monday Senate vote in favor of the Senate of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform.
Yeah.
How does that affect President Bush's political standing?
Well, I'll tell you. I think that the president would prefer that his sometime friend, Senator John McCain, not win a big victory of this sort, which boosts his own political standing, although McCain said he's not interested in running for president. Other than that, apparently the president does not want to be in a position of vetoing a campaign reform bill, and the indications are that he's still ready to sign it, relying on a Supreme Court, which has been friendly to him in the past, than to stop it.
Well, you know, let's follow up on that because political story of the week we don't want to overlook. Democrats may have to cut up those bumper stickers that say re-elect Gore in 2004 because a consortium of news organizations reported this week, Miami right. Herald, USA Today, Knight Ridder, that if the U.S. Supreme Court, even if they'd let the Florida recount continue, George W. Bush would still have won that state and the presidency.
That's right. And it was all based on what was called an undercount in Broward County and Palm Beach County. And when they went over those again, they found some, 1,500 or 1,600 more votes. And based on that, it would be a more solid victory for the president. On the other hand, this team of newspapers isn't finished. They now want to study the overvote. And find out, that's, you know, the mistaken voting for more than one candidate, but sometimes you can tell which one they really wanted to vote for. And after they count that, they may come out another way again. As of now, in this four-year sweepstakes, where every year, every month gives you some different winner, right now, Bush is ahead, and let's see if he stays ahead.
Quickly, Slobodan Milosevic has been in Belgrade jail all week. Any chance he'll be extradited to The Hague for prosecution crimes against humanity?
Well, not very soon. The Yugoslav government says that extradition is not allowed under their law, but they can change the law. Anyway, they seem more interested in trying him there. And while the tribunal in The Hague is still very anxious to get him, it may take some time before they can. I suspect they may not get him at all.
In Russia, there's this public battle for the control of the country's only independent television network. What does this tell us about Russia today?
Well, if you have one independent television network and you want to move in on that, let it be taken over by something maybe appropriately called Gazprom. I think that is something less than freedom of the press there. I think it's being fought out. The journalists are courageous. They had a sit-down strike inside. Mm-hmm. They continue putting on program. They left. They're looking for some American angel to help. Ted Turner wants to make an investment. This is a great battle. But you're right when you say that the root of this is how democratic is Russia going to be?
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.